Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction with Chicago baseball expert Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning. What's up, everybody? It's Inside the Clubhouse with me, Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine, Batman and Robin, man. We're back. It's our first show together in studio since before the Christmas Hanukkah holiday season. We were with you leading up to New Year's, but then I was out of pocket last week. So, Bruce, just out of the gate, good to be with you. The big signings this week from our two teams, Colin Ray, Josh Rojas. I'm not looking for a big applause.
One
on that
is not official yet, but will be.
And there's another one that's not official, but will be, and Martin Perez for the White
right.
Sox.
Right.
So I know that's not getting the phone lines aren't lighting up about those three names.
They
I
might.
Understand. They might. Well, we invite you to do that at 312-644-6767. As we approach the convention season, which is exciting to say convention season because Sox Fest in a couple of weeks will be back. So we'll have the once annual back-to-back weekends of Cubs Convention and Sox Fest is back, which is great. We'll be at Cubs Convention next week. We'll have a full extra hour from 9 to noon. Bruce and I will be there. David Hall will also be joining us. So we're excited about that. And then, Bruce, we have a lot of teams avoiding arbitration this week. And the Cubs and new slugger Kyle Tucker had some disagreements on what they thought they were worth. And this is what happens. It's been a big topic here on this station, on social media. The Cubs had, I think, a $15 million offer. The Kyle Tucker camp submitted a $17.5 million offer. They're $2.5 million apart. They couldn't come to an agreement. So that is out there, my friend.
It sounds much like my contract negotiations with Mitch and Ryan.
Right. That's why you're on.
Every year.
We're week to week, dude. You and I are week to week.
Arbitration. It's like they usually point to the street here, Stetson. There's arbitration is out there.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, 312-644-6767. Is this a big deal for you, a Cub fan, a baseball fan, that the guy that you just purchased in a big trade and it's your signature move of the offseason is going to arbitration? First and foremost, Ryan, your thoughts?
No, I don't think this is a big deal. I maybe that surprises some people, but you're $2.5 million apart. We've seen players in this town. I bring up Lucas Giolito because I was looking him up before the show started, and they were $200,000 apart a couple of years ago, and Lucas Giolito had 5 years in the system. That's a different, disagreement, in my opinion. When you're a couple hundred grand apart, this is a guy, albeit a superstar, okay, that you just brought in to your organization, and maybe the Cubs are looking at, and no one wants to hear this, but $2.5 million could go to the closer they haven't signed yet. It could go to another bat. It could go to another arm.
Yeah.
And I don't have a problem, and quite frankly, I don't think this is an issue for Kyle Tucker either.
Well, we'll find out if it is or it isn't. There's an arbitration date set. If you haven't settled before the date was yesterday, then all of a sudden there's arbitration date set for you to go to an independent arbitrator and sit down with the team and discuss why you think you should get the money. The team discusses why you shouldn't. It has to be negatives. You know, it can be spliced in with, we think he's great and he's our number one player. But however, this year, Tucker only played so many games and only had so many at-bats. That's what our figure is based on. We think he's a marvelous player, but we don't think he's worth more than this at this point in time, according to all the other charts and all the comps that we're looking at. And, Brian, we have to say right now that a lot of arbitration is based on comps of other players making similar money who've had similar type statistics to go in.
Yeah, I mean, think about selling your house, right? Like everybody thinks their house is probably worth more. Or Michael Jordan's house, which he thought was worth more than it was and sat there for 13 years. But you're talking about pulling comps, right? You might think your house is worth $700,000, but if it sells for $600,000, that's a selling price. It's a weird comp here. You know, the 773 on the text line, how can Hap be worth $21 million and the Cubs don't think Tucker is worth $17 million? That's not the argument. Ian Happ isn't an arbitration-eligible player. That's a contract agreement. Kyle Tucker's going to get north of $400 million likely next offseason. This is where I think the argument lies, Bruce. If the Cubs don't think Kyle Tucker's worth $400 million or $350 million, whatever his contract's going to be, that's where this, to me, that's the dotted I or crossed T. They're not going to come back and say, well, remember we were $2.5 million apart? I don't think that that's the case. This extension could get done if the Cubs believe he is worth 12 years, $400 million, or whatever it's going to be. Every single season, when they do these player polls, or the Athletic does the, you know, they survey GMs and managers and coaches and players, the Cubs are always top three in everything. They're always a top three destination for the city, for the way the organization treats the players, the families, the amenities, and everything else. I don't think Kyle Tucker is going to walk in to Mesa and Sloan Park on pitchers and catchers or whenever he reports and says, man, I'm already chapped here because of where we are.
Well, you know, I mean, when you look at responses from fans and people like our own Matt Spiegel yesterday, you get the idea that you just don't want to start off on a negative with a player who should be your top player this year and can be your top player for the next 5 years, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know what response that we'll get from him. I mean, it's not like he's a rookie. He's not going to be angry that he's going to go broke and he won't be able to afford, you know, two houses somewhere that he's paying for right now. The reality is that he has his eye on free agency and having a great year with the Cubs first. I don't think this will be sidetracking him, but your opinion always matters here on Inside the Clubhouse, 312-644-6767. We give ours. Yours are just as valid, and we want them.
Hey, so I just found this, okay? So everybody who thinks this is a big deal, Kyle Tucker lost an arbitration case 2 years ago with the Houston Astros, okay? They tried to sign him to a long-term deal and could not come to an agreement. I'm pretty sure that Kyle Tucker understands this is a part of the business. He lost 2 years ago when he submitted a $7.5 million request and the Astros submitted a $5 million request, and they won in arbitration. Think about that. You're talking about Kyle Tucker missing a boatload, half of a season. At that point, he had been posting 145-plus games at a 5-plus war season, and he lost arbitration. This is part of the business. Everyone on the text line, you're all lighting up here saying, you know, the Cubs have set the tone negatively. That's from the 708. I completely disagree with that when this is part of the business, and it's a player who the Astros loved and would have loved to have kept long-term, but they didn't. This is a guy who's coming in here. Trust, I don't think, and we can ask him next weekend, Bruce. We'll ask him directly.
Right.
Is this going to impact you? I'd be stunned if the answer was anything that said yes. I would be.
$2.5 million is still a lot of money, regardless whether it's sports or not. Okay. So your point about saying, Yeah, they could use this for their next closer who they want to sign to a four-year deal. It could be the difference in this year's allotment of payroll for Jed Hoyer, whether he approaches the cap or not. Okay, so again, are these excuses that a talk show host is making right now, or the reality of the idea that it's business, you deal with it as business, and you move on? You look at Ian Happ, who we talked about earlier, and he went to arbitration with the Cubs, I think, 2 years ago. He won his case, and afterwards, they signed him to a long-term contract.
Yeah,
right.
You think the Cubs walked away with their tail between their legs?
Yeah,
no, they liked.
Were they angry? Were they angry at him? No,
no. It's his right. That's part of the CBA. This is part of the arbitration process. If this was over $150,000 or $200,000, Bruce, I would have a completely. I was on the Lucas Giolito. Going back to that, I was very much in the Lucas. Like, what are we doing here? That was when the White Sox were trying to. At that point, you thought maybe there was a long-term extension coming. That didn't sit well with Lucas Giolito. He had to make multiple media appearances about it. Like, that one I understand more. This one, to me, is just part of the business. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Marty in Highland Park, welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Hey guys, I love your show, but you're really missing the point. Next year, Kyle Tucker is going to be sought after by the Mets, the Yankees, the Giants, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays. And is he going to go back to a team that nickeled and dimed him over $2 million? They've got $40 million less on their payroll than they did last year. And you're talking about $2 million is going to determine whether they sign a closer or not?
Marty, I'm going to ask you a question real
quick. Why are they nickel and diming him?
Marty, let me ask you this. If the Cubs have the best offer on the table next year, let's say every one of those teams you just came up with that are interested in Kyle Tucker – they offer him a deal, and the Cubs offer him $5 million more. Let's say the Cubs are the first team, the only team to offer him $400 million. You're telling me the Cubs aren't getting Kyle Tucker?
What I'm saying is if there is a close offer from Steve Cohen of the Mets or Cashman of the Yankees, he's going to decide not to go to a team that took him to arbitration.
I completely disagree with you. He played for a team that went to the World Series multiple times that he won a World that he lost an arbitration case to. Okay, forever and always, it's going to be about top dollar. It's always going to be about top dollar.
They knew he wouldn't sign with them.
What's that?
That's why they traded him.
Okay, that's fine. Next year, I'll keep the receipt. You keep the receipt too. Next year, when we're sitting in this exact moment, you know, I think if the Cubs have the best offer on the table, how can you say right now, and Marty, we definitely appreciate the phone call. How can you say right now, though, he's already made up his mind?
Marty's pissed at you.
Marty's pissed at me. That's great, but I'm pissed at Marty. I appreciate him calling it, but, like, I just don't understand how you – the guy has never even put a uniform on yet, and we're sitting there talking about, oh, he's going to Steve Cohen and the Mets.
The guy is making $15 million.
Yeah.
He's in good shape, you know. He's in really good shape. Does he want the extra $2.5 million? Yes. Does he realize it's a business? As you said, he's been through this arbitration process before. It is likely, more than likely, I would say odds are 80% that next Friday or before next Friday when the Cub convention starts, that we hear the two sides have come to terms on a $16.2 million contract.
And if they don't? What Kyle Tucker could win this, by the way. Kyle Tucker could win an arbitration case at 17.5.
Right.
I mean, we've spent almost 15 minutes on a topic that I think is going to take decide in arbitration.
I think the underlying part of this, and people like Marty who called in, is...
Love you, Marty. I'm just kidding, buddy.
Why are the Cubs not spending all the money in the world like the Mets and the Dodgers and the Yankees? Why aren't they spending more money?
Yeah.
It has little to do with Kyle Tucker case right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm in the camp, and I'm in the fan camp here where, to me, just spend the money and get the best players on the team. It is frustrating that we're sitting here on January 11th and the Cubs still have, to me, a huge void at closer. They don't have enough protection in their lineup for a guy like Kyle Tucker, And do they need one more rotation arm for some more depth? I think you can make a pretty valid argument, Bruce, that yes is the answer to all three of those.
So, yeah, so this is just, okay, you're a big market team. You bring in a lot of money. Therefore, you should spend every dollar that you bring in. And to a certain extent, Mr. Ricketts caused this problem himself because he has admittedly put every dollar that he has raised from the beginning when the family bought the team in 2009, has not been shy to say we're putting every dollar that we bring in toward the Chicago Cubs, mm-hmm. whether it's a new building, it's the neighborhood area, it's the team, it's minor league system, it's a new place in the Dominican, it's state-of-the-art in Arizona. So this is a problem where an owner has spent all of his money to a certain point on the team and on trying to win. And then at another point, when he wants to be a businessman and make money, people take exception to it.
Yeah.
It's strange, but you know, that's what sports is, right? It's like they're public domain, but they're not owned by the public.
Yeah. Well, we're going to ask Ron Coomer, friend of the program, friend of Chicago, friend of the Cubs, voice of the Cubs. Ron Coomer joins us at the bottom of the hour. White Sox manager Will Venable at the top of the 10 o'clock hour here at Inside the Clubhouse. And look, the 312, I agree with this. People are upset because it appears the Cubs are putting in place spending limits that seem low for a big market franchise. I feel that frustration. I do, because it feels like they're just meddling. They signed a $40 million manager last year and they kind of just sat on their hands. Did they bring in Cody? Did they get Cody Bellinger back? Yes. But there was other pieces that could have been that felt like they were not. They didn't finish it.
You want them to be the Dodgers, right?
I am realistic. I want everyone to be the Dodgers, Bruce, but the problem is I understand how the market works. You know, no one wants to hear about RSN money and lack thereof, but the people out there who are complaining, most of them probably have YouTube TV or Hulu or something else. They're not subscribing to Xfinity, and that's impacting the bottom line of the Cubs. Now, that's going to feel like the ultimate water-carrying person. I get it. I totally get it, because it upsets me that our teams in this town don't go out and land fish time and time again. Maybe next week at Cubs convention, when they used to unveil the big ticket free agent item, the big surprise, they bring all the guys out, all the alumni, the current roster, and then boom, here's the big guy they just signed and everyone's happy, kumbaya. Maybe it's Pete Alonso next week, Bruce, and maybe everyone feels better, but I don't feel like that's going to happen. And I get I understand the frustration of under spending limits and what it feels like, especially in a division that seems like it's there for the taking, because every single team in the division is not spending. And we just talk about it. Get in the dance. If you get in the dance, anything can happen. And you look at the NL Central. The Brewers never spend. The Pirates don't spend. The Cardinals aren't spending. And they may be doing their own little rebuild. I mean, so, like, and the Reds. The Reds are a mid-market team with Terry Francona. They do think, I bet you they'll be smart.
Do you have a problem with a team making money?
No.
Okay. Because most fans, I believe, couldn't care less whether a team makes money or not, right?
I don't care either.
Right.
But I don't have a problem with it.
Right. But you learn about, okay, for lack of a better way of explaining it, every Chicago fan is a part of the business operation of the Chicago franchises, because they're well aware in this time and age, sports fans, particularly Chicago fans, are up to date exactly about what the payroll is, who the minor league players are that are coming up, what are the constraints, what are they trying to do. They rely on you and me and other people in the industry to inform them about what is the lay of the land, why aren't they spending more money. This is a show that explains that. We cannot tell you how much money they want to spend. We can only tell you what they're putting forth out there. Cubs will have a payroll this year somewhere between $220, $230 million, okay? They'll be able to spend, you'll hear from the front office at some point, we're going to want to have money to spend at the deadline when we want to add to go to the playoffs. The White Sox will be somewhere between $80 and $90 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay. Knowing what they're bringing in from TV, you know, crickets right now.
Yep.
Knowing what they're going to bring in from fans showing up at the ballpark. They had their smallest attendance last year in 24 years, 25 years. That's their figure, okay? You, as a baseball fan in Chicago, have to hear from me and Ryan and other people about the realities of business. So, therefore, every sports fan in Chicago is a business associate of all those franchises. One's owned by Mr. Reinsdorf, by the Ricketts, you know, by the Wirtz family, even to other extents like, you know, the smaller professional teams like the Sky, you know, the Blackhawks as well. It's unfortunate that we have to, but that is, you know, the knowledge of sports fans right now are, you know, it's off the chart. And they want to know every little detail. And they're going to call up to shows like ours and be upset about the fact that they're not spending more money.
Yeah.
We or me or other people either agree or disagree, give you reasons why. You want to accept them? Okay. If you don't, it's still the reality of what's going on right now. We have to deal with the reality.
Well said, Bruce. Let's go back to those phone lines you just alluded to. 312-644-6767. Freddie, down in Miami, chiming in on the Kyle Tucker situation. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, guys. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm listening to you guys. And I just got this to say. We tried that with Bellinger last year. It didn't work. He left. We got to give this guy his $15 million. Earn Wrigley Field, then we pay you. If not, you go somewhere else. We need to start splitting up this money. I hate players that make $700 million, $400 million. Are you kidding me? What's happening to baseball? Don't go $17 million with this guy. He's good, but I don't care. I love you guys. Have a good day, and let's go Cubs.
Freddie Ballgame. I'm gonna nickname him Freddie Ballgame, man. That passion is outstanding. We got to get him up here.
Sounds like a small business owner to me.
I don't have a problem with $700 million contracts. I mean, it does kind of create a haves and have not situation, but it also tells you that there might be ownerships out there that are doing whatever it takes to win, Bruce. That if that's what it takes, we have the pocketbooks, we have the resources, go get the player. And in this particular time, the Cubs they don't have the pockets to go get Juan Soto.
Every at least once a month during our shows, I have to inform people that the Dodgers take in $380 million just from their TV deal, from their local.
$8 billion.
$380
contract.
Million
yeah.
alone, okay, just for their TV contract, okay.
To put that in perspective, just so people know, like last year on NBC Sports Chicago, like you're talking about teams bringing in about $50 to $70 million, roughly in that neighborhood.
Right,
$50 to $70 million. What was the number you just gave us?
$380 million.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear on that.
Yeah, and it's for 8 more years. Okay.
Yeah.
So they can do things, and with all credit to, you know, Andrew Friedman and the people that run the Dodgers business and baseball, they do a terrific job. All the way around. What, you know, Friedman came from the small market team, being the president and general manager of Tampa, and won there. Okay. That's why he was hired. He was hired to come into the Dodgers, have that mentality of having to build a team the proper way, do it on small money, but also have the money available to you when a Freddie Freeman is available, when a Mookie Betts is available, when a Shohei Ohtani is available. So it's 29 teams and then the Dodgers, okay? But take no credit away from the Dodgers. They do things brilliantly in all areas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, comparing the other 29 to the Dodgers, you can't do it. The Yankees come close revenue-wise, not real close when it comes to that type of contract. So, again, you know, people, you know, they get fed up with these numbers and, you know, me apologizing. I'm not apologizing. My job is to report what I know, okay? And that's what we do here on the show.
We're going to talk about this with our guy, Ron Coomer, here after the break. But before that, join Lawrence Holmes and Bruce's guy, Remy Martin, today from 11:30 till 1 p.m. at Signature, an Elevated Restaurant and Sports Bar at 1312 South Wabash in Chicago. Come register for your chance to play hoops on the Court of Dreams at the United Center on February 22nd. And come sample some Remy cocktails. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. Ron Coomer joins us as soon as we get back on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Back on Inside the Clubhouse, Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey here on a beautiful Saturday morning in downtown Chicago. And it's time to go back, or time to go out to the phone lines. Not back, not yet. Now joining us on the Circus Sports Hotline is a great Cubs radio analyst here on the Cubs Radio Network on 670 The Score. Download the Circa app today. It's Ron Coomer. Coom, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining the show as always. Always good to talk to you on a Saturday morning.
Thank you, Ryan, and good to talk to you guys. Good to talk baseball.
Absolutely.
I get in from Florida on Thursday night, and I left Florida and it was warmer, and I got here to snow. So
balmy.
It's good to talk about baseball when we got a little snow going. Huh, Brucey, isn't that something?
Yeah, absolutely, Coom. thanks for joining Ryan and myself today. And I'm wondering, the Cubs continue to look at pitching right now. And, they added Colin Ray, who had most recently pitched with Milwaukee and has experience with having played for Craig Counsell. And when you look the way they're going about their pitching in this offseason, they're still probably looking to try to bring in a closer. How do you look at them, and where do you think they're going at this point?
I look at them and I kind of look back towards the last couple days of the season, and it might even have been a little earlier than that, but not much. When we were all at the ballpark and Craig Counsell was talking about building a 90-win team and looking at Milwaukee, and we were all there, and you listen to that, and then you go back to the season and you reevaluate. Okay, what happened in 24? Well, they had the very difficult May and June, offensively, bullpen, coming off Steele's injury, and I think when you have the bullpen issues that they had. I think it just looks right back. It's depth. It's depth of quality arms and people that can get big league hitters out. And I think that's where when you can deal with some younger position players and trying to get them, incorporated into how you want an offense to look and do. But boy, when you don't have pitching depth and you're running out there guys that really – they see a name on the back of a jersey and they're just not prepared to deal with that. It really makes it tough to win. And I think that's what you're looking at now with the Cubs is, you've added some depth to the rotation. So what that can do, along with some of these veterans that they've signed, which I'm a big fan of, that it pushes maybe some of those guys back to the bullpen. And now your bullpen can go from being a struggle the first half of last year to a strength where it was, where some of the young guys took advantage the second half. But depth in the pitching staff, I think, is something that Craig Counsell really wanted to address. And I think Jed talked about that when the season ended.
Coom, you talk about, the 90-win season. That I think we've all alluded to those comments all offseason here.
Right.
And I think Bruce and I still expect, that maybe there's a couple of moves. And the way that free agency has gone over the last couple of years – this plays out more into January and even February now than ever before. It feels like there's a couple moves still to be made to get to that 90-win plateau. How do you feel?
I do. I absolutely believe that. It would not surprise me if there's a position player move still to be made. That's possible because you've got some, some guys that are it's still backed up in the outfield, especially, with Saez's situation and what he's going to do. But that can be worked out. Counsell can talk through that as an ex-player and a longtime manager and kind of deal with some of those things. I do believe, though, that there's definitely a closer situation that's got to be resolved. You can't go into the season with
that position not being kind of solidified. And it doesn't mean you have to go out and sign the number one closer. You just want to be able to line up your bullpen. When you leave Mesa here coming up in another 2 months, you want to look at your bullpen and go, especially for these younger guys, you want them to know where they kind of slot in and not to be closing one day and then in the fifth inning or sixth inning the next day. And so now with these steel bars and some of these guys that you've kind of brought in that are veterans, I think you're giving that bullpen a chance to kind of slot itself, but you're still missing the piece, and that's the backside, that's the ninth inning piece. But there's some guys out there. I think there's some trade availability, and there's, you know, some guys out there that are, you know, not going to break the budget and give you some quality, a quality ability to get three outs in the ninth inning.
Power arms, you know, like a Tanner Scott, obviously, who's asking 4 years and close to $70 million. Those are things that you look for, especially in the closer's role. They've been looking for that in the starting rotation. Look, the rotation has been fortified. They've done a really nice job of building a really good rotation. But it, you know, as we talked about last year and going into this year, still lacks a power arm. How essential is that? Is that just a look or a media conversation, or is that a real thing when you go into a three-game series and you have a full rotation of guys that are averaging 92.5 miles per hour in their fastball?
I think there's something to be said about the power arm. There's no doubt. I think if it's overblown a little bit, I don't think I know it does. Because there are times, you know, there are some guys that throw 95, 96, 97, and their fastball straight as a string, and you see it real well. And you're like, yeah, well, it's hard, but, you know, it's not the most difficult thing to hit. And then there are other guys that throw 94 to 93, 94, and you just don't pick the ball up well, and it feels like you're hitting a bowling ball sometimes. So, you know, that can be overplayed some, Bruce. Cubs have some power arms. You know, you're looking at it depending on how this slots now. You know, that Hodge, he's a power arm. He's a big arm, and he can throw the ball hard. You know, so you've got, you know, and Merriweather, another guy that's a power arm. So you've got some of that. But to me, okay, Beelbar, you know, I watched him pitch in Minnesota and sink it a little in hooks and different arm angles and, you know, be able to, you know, pitch. I think there's it's good to have a little different look for guys, you know, every other inning coming out of the pen. If you get a little different look, sometimes that can be just as effective as throwing three guys out there that throw 97 or 96 and rear them back and try to throw it as hard as they can. I think there's something to be said about some different looks and guys doing some different things.
Cubs acquired Kyle Tucker this offseason. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't love that move. He's a bona fide superstar, top 10 hitter in the game. But a big, you know, point of contention, we've been talking about it all morning thus far, and it's been a topic about the, you know, the arbitration difference. The Cubs offered 15. Kyle Tucker's at 17.5. This is part of the business, as you know, Coom. Is it a big deal? Because Bruce and I don't believe it is in terms of, like, long-term anything at the end. It's just part of the business. Kyle Tucker had an arbitration case 2 years ago in Houston that he lost, and things kept going on as is. Do you think this is a big deal at all? Did you ever go through the process and come up short? Because, look, $2.5 million is significant. We've seen guys in this town go to arbitration over $200,000. So can you walk us through that as a player and former player and a lot about – and just talk about, like, are there hurt feelings? How does that whole process work?
There can be. This is the thing that you need to do the research on and have some people on the inside to know what you're dealing with, because some guys do get hurt feelings and some guys don't. Now, you know, you think, well, Tucker's he's this elite player now. He's turned himself into this great player. But, you know, when you start talking about elite players or elite money, he has not made elite money. He's made very good money. And for the common guy walking around Chicago, you know, he's made unbelievable money. But for Major League Baseball, he has not made elite money. So he's still, you know, trying to get there. So every, you know, that's the thing. And he's still a young guy. So what is he, 27 years old, I believe? Mm-hmm. So you're still,
to me, you run the risk of that being an issue. That's the biggest thing. You don't want that to be an issue. And 8 months from now, when this kid has a 30 home run season and knocks in 100, and now you're trying to be one of the teams that are re-signing him. You don't want that to be something that sticks in his craw a little bit for the amount of money that you're talking about when you're, you know, about to sign an elite player. So,
Coom, can you point to anybody that you remember that impacting on a team and a free agent without mentioning? You might not have to even mention a name, but is there anyone you can think of that was, you know, hey, I didn't like the way they handled me during arbitration. I'm not signing with them.
Yeah, I remember it created really, I'll tell you who it was. Pat Mears, our shortstop with Minnesota, was our starting shortstop for 4 years. Him and Knobloch were the double play combination, and Mearsy was a very good player. He ended up hurting his finger, middle finger on his throwing hand, really bad, and it kind of derailed his career. But you talked about he would go to arbitration with Terry Ryan every year, and they would go to the, you know, to the end of it, and they would, it just, he was just bitter all the time. And, you know, and then we had, you know, the Knobloch thing. So you just had some guys, you know, in that era, you know, if I remember correctly, it affected them. No other guys, you know, because the arbitration thing, it's one side making, you know, each side making a case for themselves. So, you know, if you hear what the team is saying about you, it's never, you know, rosy, right? They're trying to win a case. So it can be one of those things. You just, you know, I hope it just gets resolved and you kind of, you know, it just goes away for Tucker. I really do.
It will by next Friday. Next Friday.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. It will, yes.
Coom, you know, a lot of when people analyzed the 83 and 79 Cubs last year, a lot of people, oh, there's too many nice guys. They don't have anybody, any fire, any passion. And it's baseball and it's 6 months and you're really together for about 8 to 9 months, as you know. Is that overblown? Is that much to do about nothing? Do the Cubs have too many nice guys? Sometimes you take on the personality of the manager, right? And sometimes you don't. And it was just a lot of good players and a lot of good guys that just came up short. I mean, to your point earlier about a closer, you know, the Cubs had 26 blown saves last year.
Yeah.
They scored runs in bunches. They had months where they scored a ton of runs and they had months where they didn't score runs at all. Do they need some kind of fiery flip over a table passion guy, or is it just about having good players in the right spots?
I think you could make a case for any of that, Ry. You really could. You know, there are teams that have a bunch of fiery guys and they stink, and then there are teams that have a bunch of passive guys that come out and just quietly kick your butt for 3 days and you move on to the next city. So it can go either way, but you always want to have a couple, you know, guys with a little grit to them that really, you know, are maybe a little more vocal, but that's not an absolute necessity. You know, the thing about the Cubs and runs too, that you're bringing up, you know, and how their season went, sometimes when we look at certain stats, they're misleading and you have to evaluate the whole, not just a number. Okay. So this month the Cubs led the league in scoring or they're in the top five. And baseball. Well, the Cubs scored runs in bunches, and that's your point, and it's a good one, because if you have a lot of blowout games, it really skews the number, right? It skews all those numbers, and you don't get a real read on what you got. If you have four games where you score 12 runs in a month, it skews the number, right? So you have to look at that, and I think that's what you are seeing. The Cubs had some of those big number games offensively, but they also in May and June couldn't score. So you want to find some balance in there. And I think that's somewhat of what they're trying to do on the offensive side is, you know, not have everybody be the same looking guy and, you know, everybody looking to pull and elevate. You get some guys that can spray the ball around the field a little bit and have more of a balanced attack. So some of those things are, yes, I didn't totally answer your question, I guess, but You want some guys that, you know, aren't going to be afraid to, you know, roll their sleeves up and, you know, if a guy gets knocked down, you know, I always kind of like the guy that will stand up and you know, I don't want to say retaliate, but
sure,
not make sure the other team knows that's not acceptable.
Sure.
put it that way.
The great Ron Coomer, our guest and Inside the Clubhouse. Coom, how would me or Ryan or a fan know if a manager like Craig Counsell is having a good year, a bad year, a year of adjustment, a year of getting to know you, resonating or not resonating? Where is the barometer for us as far as figuring out whether the 83 wins that he had as a manager of the Cubs in 2024 was the equivalent or better than the 83 wins that David Ross had in 2023?
That's a great question. A really good question, Bruce. I look at last season. I'll say this. I think they're very different for the two managers you mentioned, David and Counsey. Craig came into the Cubs organization not knowing the team really, right? That weren't his guys. He wasn't around them. He's learning coaches' names. He's learning players' names. He's trying to figure out who the prospects are and to see them and see what you got. And that's prospects even on his own big league roster, right? What do you have? You know, the first half of the season, it's tough to to be everything that you want to be as a manager and bring all of your skill sets to the table when you're still trying to figure out your personnel. That's just not an easy thing. And I would say this year we're going to get a lot better look at the manager this year and Counsell and what he brought to the Milwaukee Brewers for those years that they were, you know, perennially battling for first place in the division and still are, and what he brought to the table. I think this will be a much better view of what he brings. So, and on the flip side of that, I thought David Ross, he knew what he had, right? He was around this organization for a while, played here, then was in the front office a little bit with Theo and Jed, you know, overseeing everything, and then he got the manager's job. So when you look at this team this year, you're gonna see if guys kind of slate in where things look smooth. You know, you're not bouncing lineups all over the place. You got a grasp on what you got, who you got, where you want them to kind of solidify their role on the team. I think that's where you're gonna see Counts be able to do some of those things a little easier this year than last year. He's got a great track record. He really does. You know, with less talent, he put a team up there year in and year out in Milwaukee that was in the playoffs. So, you know, that's what you're hoping that he can bring to the table this year.
Coom, appreciate it. Can't wait to see you next week at Cub Convention. Should be a lot of fun. You know, Vuk and the guys are waiting to see you as well. So look forward to it. Thanks so much for joining Ryan and me today.
Appreciate you, Ron.
It's always an entertaining couple days at Cubs convention. Ryan, great to talk to you. Thanks. And Brucey, I look forward to seeing you, buddy. And the Vuk extravaganza will be going on here soon. Yeah, looking forward to it.
The great Ron Coomer joining us here on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey. And there's a couple of things I want to talk about, wrap that up as we come back from break, Bruce. And somebody's using Corbin Burnes as a Kyle Tucker comp. I want to discuss why the two of those situations are not alike. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Always great to have Ron Coomer join us on Inside the Clubhouse. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that grabbing a cold one, if you're out in Lockport and a great sandwich out of Coom's Corner, is not a necessity on a cold day.
It's a reality for many.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
I'm trying to find an excuse to get to Lockport now after bringing that up. A couple more minutes here before we get to Will Venable, the manager of the White Sox. Okay, so some fans are chiming in here. Look, Coom did discuss the Kyle Tucker situation and said players have hurt feelings from this, Bruce, and we've known that. He brought up Pat Mears, a former teammate of his in Minnesota, saying he went to arbitration every year. So, yeah, clearly, and he doesn't want Kyle Tucker to get to arbitration, and you believe by next week at this time that won't happen. But yes, hurt feelings can happen, to everyone's point, okay? Somebody brought up here on the text line, I mentioned the Corbin Burns situation, 608. Corbin Burns came out in the media after losing his arbitration case to the Brewers saying, yes, there are hurt feelings. Now, he had been with the team. He came up with the team. He won a Cy Young, and they were like 700 grand apart, and he was pissed. That, to me, goes back to the Lucas Giolito situation. When you have a guy, even Pat Mears, Coombs' teammate, when you have a guy year in and year out that you're taking to the bench and saying, this guy's not worth X, I think those feelings can be hurt a little bit more than Kyle Tucker.
So many times for young players going in their second or third year, I've been at their locker and they go, we're talking about contract or no contract that they received or arbitration or money. And they go, well, I just learned it's a business, you know. And that hardens players, but it happens to every single one of them. I remember Chris Bryant in spring training of 2015 hit 10 home runs. Okay, he was the most dominant player in baseball that spring. He was a guarantee to join the team. Oh, whoops, no, he didn't. They held him back because they wanted that seventh year of control. He didn't show up until April 15th. I saw him taking his bats, his wife picking him up when they told him that he was going to minor league camp for the last 4 or 5 days of spring training. It did impact him then. From that point on, he loved being a Cub player. He loved playing for the Cubs. But in reality, it did permeate to the point where he didn't feel like he was going to be with the Cubs the rest of his career. Okay, yeah. And it turned out that way. I mean, but at some point, You have to put your big boy pants on and realize it's a multi-million, billion-dollar industry, and these dollars matter to the owner, the front office people, the way they put their team together, so they can help that team win that year. And sometimes, personally, you are going to get kicked to the curb.
Yeah, loyalty in sports. We all want it. It's not the 80s. It's not the 70s where a guy, you know, starts his career with the team and finishes his career at the same team. These guys know it's a business. It is a business. We don't get the loyalty from the teams. We don't get the loyalty from the players. Time to talk the White Sox. We're going to go to the top at the top of the hour when we come back from the break. The new manager of the Chicago White Sox, Will Venable, will join Bruce Levine and me, Ryan McGuffey, on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.